Hi, this is Desiree Turley, hosting the Star for the Night show. A Star for the Night is a nonprofit foundation. We help kids that are seriously ill, homeless, and from the Byrne Foundation realize their dreams as they co-host and interview their favorite movie stars on the radio. Tonight, our co-host kids are from the Cancer Center as they interview Mike Myers, Austin Powers. Yeah, baby! We have an awesome show tonight. Our Star for the Night kids that are co-hosting are from the Cancer Center in Chico, California. They are so excited to interview their favorite movie star because the special guest they are interviewing is one of the biggest stars in Hollywood. He is an actor and a writer from Austin Powers and Cat in the Hat, the brilliant Mike Myers. Say hi, Mike!
Hi, Mike!
Yeah, baby!
Yeah.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. I'm here in New York City, where it's awfully hot and smelly.
That's awesome. Mike, we are so glad to have you on the show today. And the kids here are from the Cancer Center, and this is like one of their greatest days of their lives events. And to be able to interview you is just so magnificent.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and I will await your questions. I would like the opportunity to lie on several of the questions and make myself appear much more interesting.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, our first co-host is Daniel, who is 10 years old. Say hi, Daniel.
Hello.
Hey, Daniel, how's it going?
Good.
Now, are you a hockey fan?
Yes, I play hockey.
Oh, do you? What position do you play?
Goalie and defense.
Goalie and defense. I play right wing.
Oh.
Do you skate?
Yeah.
Yeah. The skating is key with hockey. Now, I know I sound like an old Canadian fella. You gotta skate. You get to be better.
And stay on your feet.
Yeah. What professional team do you follow?
I don't really watch hockey.
More play than watch?
Yeah.
I see. Could you just humor me and say that the Toronto Maple Leafs is your favorite team?
Okay, they are.
You're a great kid.
Yeah.
You're a great kid.
Yeah. You want to tell a little bit more about yourself, Daniel?
I also play the drums.
Me too.
Wow.
Yeah, I play the drums all the time. Me and Dana Carvey. Did you ever see Wayne's World?
No.
Okay, that's a movie I did many years ago.
Wayne's World.
Excellent.
Woo! Yeah,
and Dana and I, Dana Carvey, who plays Garth, and I played Wayne, we used to play drums together all the time. And then my next movie, soonish, I'm not sure when, is I'm playing a guy who is a drummer for a band called The Who, English band, and I'm going to be playing Keith Moon. And so I have to drum every day. Well, when I say have to, I mean I get to drum every day.
I see.
Very good. Do you have a favorite drummer?
No.
Would it kill you to say Keith Moon?
Yes.
There you go, see?
Yeah. Gonna
now you're a Keith Boone fan and you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. I'm starting to like you, kid. I'm starting to like you.
Okay. Also, you love video games.
Yes. Yes.
What's your game?
Probably Godzilla, Destroy All Monsters.
I don't know video games, but I'm definitely running out to get Godzilla, Destroy All Monsters. I don't even play a video game. I play a computer game. Do you know the game Risk?
Yes.
Yeah, I play the computer version of it. I gotta expand my game horizons.
Yes, you definitely do.
Yes, I do. Thank you. I already said that. You didn't have to like keep punishing me with that.
Also, Daniel is wanting to be a marine biologist, and Make-A-Wish is sending him to Australia to see the Great Barrier Reef.
Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, Barrier Reef.
Yes, we're going to be on the Heron Islands, because on the Heron Islands there is a marine biologist facility. They're going to take me down in a submarine to see the reef.
Oh, that's cool. When you're down there, can you put another shrimp on the barbie for me?
Sure thing.
You're going to be surrounded by water. Get used to it. Go down to Sydney Harbour. See a kangaroo.
Yeah.
When do you head out there to see the Great Barrier Reef, which is something I'd love to do as well?
We're hoping sometime around December or November, because it's, of course, on the other side of the world, so winter here would be summer there.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are upside down and weird about Australia. Good luck.
Going down and... Okay, so what's your first question for Mr. Myers?
Well, do you have any hobbies?
I do. My hobbies are hockey. I love the Toronto Maple Leafs. I play hockey. I live in New York City, so you can do... The thing about New York City is that there's a club for anything, which is amazing. Like, if you're into, you know, the play Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and that's the only thing that you like, there would be a Cat on the Hot Tin Roof club. And I play road hockey. In the movie Wayne's World, which you haven't seen yet, thank you. which I'd like you to see soon. Thank you very much. There's a scene where I'm playing road hockey, and I'm in a team. I'm in a league with a whole bunch of people, and we keep stats, and we got uniforms, and we got referees. And I go online, and if I scored a goal, I see my name, and I feel like $1 million.
Yeah.
And then also, too, my hobbies are my parents were in World War II, so I have a strange interest in anything to do with World War II.
I see.
And I play the drums, and I have a little pickup band with my friends, and, you know, play music and go see music in the New York area.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it's fun. That's what I do. I know this is not terribly exciting, but that's just the truth. I wasn't going to lie. I think my kids would be more interesting, but... Oh, I go to the moon every now and then. Yeah, I have my own little private rocket ship.
Yeah.
All right, that sounded better.
Well, Dr. Evil does, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. He has a moon lair. You're all invited to come, too.
All right, here's another question. What was it like to play the voice of Shrek?
The voice of Shrek. Well, it's a lot of fun. I actually don't get to see... Eddie Murphy or Cameron Diaz until the press junket, until we go to like a big hotel and answer questions from journalists all around the world, and you do that for like 3 days answering the same question, and then you try and come up with a new answer. I don't see them till then. So what happens is I end up feeling like, I don't know, like I fell in love with Fiona, not because I didn't see Cameron Diaz, so it was just I fall in love with the voice. My best friend while I'm recording is definitely Donkey, and I want Donkey. I want a donkey to live in my house.
Talking or regular?
What's that now?
Talking or regular?
Now I want to talk. I want Donkey, the actual Donkey, Eddie Murphy's Donkey.
Oh.
No, I want him to, you know, we'll eat waffles and hang out. And I love Donkey and I love Puss in Boots, and so it's always fun for me. It's better to not see the actors, because for me, I just live in that world of hearing their recording that they did, like in Thailand or Timbuktu, or, you know, they'll come to you wherever you are. And so it's kind of interesting when I see them in person, because I go, you're talking just like Fiona. You're talking just like Donkey. And so it's exciting. I love doing it. It's a lot of fun.
Do you have any pets?
I have four dogs. I have two yellow labs, and I have a Heinz 57 mutt, and I have a chihuahua.
I have a chihuahua.
Do you? You want to know what their names are?
What?
Borshevsky, after a hockey player from the Toronto Maple Leafs. 99 for Wayne Gretzky, the greatest hockey player that ever lived, Canadian hero.
Yeah.
And Gilmore for Dougie Gilmore, who's a great captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And 22, because that's my number when I play hockey. So I have two numbered dogs.
Who wants to tell Mike
Gilmore, 99 and 22.
Who wants to tell Mike the name of my dog?
What is your dog's name?
I don't know the name of your dog.
Her dog's name is Mojo.
Is it really?
Yes. Do you know how many millions of animals are now named Mojo? You find that out when your dog's named that, because then everybody tells you everybody on the planet has friends and family that have the name Mojo for their dog or cat.
You know how many people in biker gangs are named Mojo? Any people. Just beaten up by somebody named Mojo, they tell you how many other people are named Mojo. So ironic that you would say that.
Yeah, well, I carry my dog around and tell everybody I can't go anywhere without my Mojo.
Oh,
I can't lose my Mojo.
What type of doggie is Mojo?
He's a chihuahua.
A chihuahua.
Yeah.
They're so cool.
Yeah, he's got the soft skin underneath, so I sleep with my face stuffed into his chest with his arms around me.
But, I mean, don't you have the temptation to just want to bite and chew? I want to bite my dogs, and I suspect that my dogs would be very, very delicious with a little salt and pepper.
Oh, he's sweet enough to just eat pieces.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your next question?
All right. I have a question for Dr. Evil.
Right.
Are you really evil, or are you just misunderstood?
I'm both evil and misunderstood.
Oh. Well.
It's an interesting combination of childhood wounding that has skewed my worldview and an overreaching need for world domination. But then you know the details of my life, don't you?
Yes.
And
yes,
they're inconsequential.
Okay, you gotta say goodbye.
Alright.
See you later. Good talking to you. I expect to see you at a Leaf game. Thank you very much.
Or maybe I'll see you down under. Okay, and Corinne's next. She's our next co-host. Corinne's 18. And you're going to have to lean forward, hon, because I know you have a really soft voice, so you need to speak up and get as close as you can. Hey, Anna Mike.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Egg salad.
Now, Corinne, when she grows up, she wants to be a psychologist.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, baby. Oh, good.
Okay. You seriously want to be a psychologist?
Yeah, and a teacher.
Oh, and a teacher. Very good.
Yeah.
What drew you to psychology?
I think it's just I had an uncle once who was a psychologist, and to, like, hear his views about just the world and about how messed up people are.
Yes.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, people are very messed up. You'll have lots of business.
Yeah.
That's the good news.
Yeah. I like to hear that people are more messed up than me.
Me too. Definitely. There is a lot of comfort in that.
Yeah.
So which is the one that can write prescriptions? Is that the psychiatrist or the psychologist?
Mm.
I guess you'll find out once you begin studying. There's one is a medical one, and one is more like talking to people. Well, one is medical and talks to people, and one just talks to people.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the limit of my knowledge of psychiatry. I could make up stuff, but no.
Yeah, when Corinne was in the hospital coming out of her second coma, Adam used to take care of her and come and visit her, and he brought her all the Austin Power movies, and she became a number one fan. It just cheered her up and got her better.
Yay!
I watched it so many times. It was like on and on. Okay.
Well, if that doesn't want to make you be a psychologist, I don't know what.
What's your first question, baby?
Okay. What is the favorite movie that you've made?
I would say Austin Powers 2 was my favorite movie because I got to meet Mini-Me.
Oh.
And Vern Troyer is a very, very nice man. He's a very small man, and he's a very nice man. And it was just one of those things. You know, I write all of the Austin Powers movies, and I remember just sitting around one day, and I said, what if Dr. Evil had a clone? And everybody was like, hello? Hello?
What?
Hi, sorry, I heard a beep on my end. There we go.
Oh.
I wondered if perhaps Dr. Evil was listening in.
Uh-oh.
I said, what if Dr. Evil has a clone? And I guess he would be called, and I just went, Mini-Me. And then everybody in the room went, oh, my God, Mini-Me, of course. And I was like, because when I was a little kid, my name is Myers. I have two older brothers, and I was the kind of kid that would say, hey, guys, wait up. Where are you going? Where are you going, guys? My brothers used to take off on me all the time. Like, they would just, like, go, yeah, we're just going to go to the bathroom. We'll be back in a second, like at a hockey game. And I'd never see them again, and I'd have to make my way back to the suburbs, like 18 miles away. And my nickname was Minnie Myers. There was Peter Myers, Paul Myers, and then Minnie Myers. I didn't even know my name was Mike until I was about 14. And so when I thought of what the clone's name would be, I went Mini-Me. And then the director, Jay Roach, who also directed Meet the Parents and the other one, was like, I think I found somebody. And I said, well, he would have to be really small. And he's really small.
Yeah.
Cool. And he's a great guy. What I love about him is that he is completely independent. When he goes to an airport, he has this little kit that can change the car. Like, he puts blocks on the accelerator and on the brake. And he has a seat that he puts in. So he's completely, as small as he is, he's completely self-sufficient, and he is completely just sort of adapted to what it is, and he doesn't want anyone to feel sorry for him. He wants to be, no, it's just a challenge I have, and I'm going to meet it, and he does, and he's hilarious, and he will make jokes about how small he is, and he'll, you know what I mean, he owns it. He's just a great guy. So I would say because of that, and that's the first time I met him was on the second Austin Powers, that he is, that's my favorite movie.
Okay.
Hello? Left you guys cold, didn't I?
Yeah.
And if you didn't make it in the business, what other professions would you be thinking about going into?
I wanted to be an architect.
Oh. Ah.
I like, when I was a kid, you guys play with Lego, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. I just don't, you know, I grew up in Canada. I'm joking. So, I don't know if you guys have Lego down there. I used to play with Lego. I would not eat for days just playing with Lego, making houses and structures and stuff. And on the other hand, though, I am made of 90% ham and 10% water. So I was a little kid that just wanted to, like, perform. But I also wanted to be an architect, and I think the ham in me just won out, ultimately. But I still, like, this is what I love about New York City is all the different buildings and stuff. And going to London, and I went to Venice once and was moved to tears at how beautiful the buildings are. I love buildings, so that's probably what I would have done.
Okay. Hmm. And have you always wanted to be a star?
Well, it's so funny. I just wanted to make things. I mean, my parents were very eccentric English people, and they were very into, you know, every child must have a hobby, and every child must be able to express themselves, and I just wanted to make stuff, and I had no idea it would go as well as it did. And, you know, my mom worked in the office of a factory, and my dad sold encyclopedias. And
oh, wow.
So I didn't go to school for any of this stuff, so a lot of this stuff has been just sort of making it up as I go along, and it is weird. I mean, it is, you know, just imagine yourself walking somewhere and people recognize your face, and they come up and they say things like, yeah, baby, to you, and then you, like, often I will see people that look at me and I go, God, where do I know this person from? And I go, they don't. I don't know them. Like, oh, right, I'm famous. Because I'm not famous to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like the same idiot in Toronto, you know? But I just really like making stuff, and then all this stuff kind of happened. And it's been cool. There are some challenges, you know. You just read in the paper, like, something that's just not true about you. Like, I never said that. I was never even there, and all that stuff. That sort of stuff is freaky. Paparazzi is freaky. The guys with the cameras.
Yeah.
Because it looks like they have guns sometimes, you know? No, but I'm not kidding you. And it's weird. You look up and you go, the camera. And you feel kind of hunted like an animal. Yeah. Those are the downsides of it. The upside of it is huge and great because it's everything I wanted to do since I was a little kid. And I've really done everything I've wanted to do. So it's an interesting experience. When you say star, that's why I was talking about that stuff. If you say actor, that's a different thing. Being an actor is entirely different than being a star.
Oh.
But it's been a very interesting life, so I have no complaints. Never boring. Never boring.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. I guess that was a bad answer. Oh, did I also tell you about getting bad reviews? That's hard.
Yes.
Like the one I just got. Bye-bye. All right, beat it.
Yeah, whenever we make big bloopers, we need to say, Wayne's World. But she wanted to say goodbye and thank you.
Not at all. Goodbye and thank you.
Thank you.
Not at all.
Okay, and we have a little surprise for you here. It's a little song that we want to sing with you. Please help us out. And
sure.
For you. Okay, you guys ready?
This is.
Well, yeah. Big baby. Make love to me. Put it on the telly. To the BBC. To the BBC. Yeah, yeah, yeah. BBC One. BBC Two. BBC Three. BBC Four. BBC Five. BBC Six. BBC Seven. BBC Heaven!
Yeah, what do you think of that?
Well, I thought it was pretty good. I, however, went instantly tone deaf, and I'd like to apologize. it really did sound like I was a moose there.
I think we sort of sang you there.
I ended up not being able to hear myself, and I'm not a natural singer, I'd have you know. I wrote those lyrics. I wrote those lyrics in approximately 11 seconds. I don't know if you could tell, they're not terribly complex.
Well, that's kind of why we chose that song. We figured we couldn't screw it up too bad.
No. Very easy song because I'm a very simple person.
Do you have fantasies of being a rock star?
Oh, yeah. I may be able to live them out in my next movie where I play Keith Moon.
Oh, that's right.
So that is exciting, and You know, I have a great group of friends here in New York. They do cool things. Like, you know, one night we just organized all of us walking over the Brooklyn Bridge and going to this place called Grimaldi's Pizza in Brooklyn. Lots of fun. But one of the things that I love the most is that they organize Battle of the Bands nights.
Yeah.
And so here's the deal. It's really cool. Hold on. So it's usually on somebody's birthday. We go out to Brooklyn and we find a club and we book it out. We book out a club, the stage and stuff. We have 30 of us break into six teams of five. You have 2 hours to come up with an original song and a cover song. Then you have to come back and perform them. I can't tell you. It's so much fun. And you just feel like a rock star.
Yeah, rock on.
The songs are great, and some of the songs are torture.
For you listeners who have just tuned in, this is the Star for the Night show. For our co-host tonight, we have the kids from the Cancer Center that are interviewing their hottest, most wonderful, favorite movie star, Mike Myers. And our next co-host that's up is Caleb. He's 17.
Hello.
And say hi.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Now, Caleb likes video games, and when he grows up, he wants to be a video game tester. And of course,
hold on, like a video game tester is like kind of like a kissing instructor. Like, that's not really a job, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'm a food taster. Mostly I taste really good food, and then I test really good videos and kiss really cute girls. That's my job. Someone has to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Someone has to do it.
So a video tester, it's actually a huge business, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Because if video games make more money than movies now.
They do?
They do. The software for video games is like in the bajillions, and movies are in the millions. I never know. No increments of money. But lots. No, they make about 10 times what movies do now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Caleb is also into sports, and for his Make-A-Wish, he's going to go to Philadelphia to meet meet Donovan McNabb, and he's the quarterback for the Eagles. Oh, you already went there. Oh.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't.
Yeah,
oh, okay, I guess that's coming up.
That's
when does the football season start?
I don't know. I'm going in October 2nd, I think.
Right, I think it starts in September. I'm a fan of the Canadian Football League, believe it or not. And their season's on right now, but honestly, I won't bore you with the CFL. It's not the NFL, really, but my league. And so are you from the Philadelphia area?
No.
No, they're going to fly him out there.
Oh, no, I just wondered if originally you were and the Eagles were your team.
No, I've lived in Paradise my entire life.
Right. Did you say you live in Paradise?
Yep. It's called Paradise.
Really? That's funny. I grew up in Utopia.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I grew up in Toronto.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, you wouldn't need Utopias.
What's your first question there?
That's a joke. In a perfect world. I'm happy to explain all the jokes. What questions do you have for the good doctor?
What do you think of Velvet Revolver?
What do I think of Velvet Revolver? I'm now confessing I don't know Velvet Revolver.
It's a band.
Oh, really? Where are they from?
I have no idea.
Just a funny name, really. I don't know Velvet Revolver. Who I'm listening to right now is Joanna Newsom. She plays a harp. She's from San Francisco. I know it sounds not cool, but she's very, very cool. And I like listening to the White Stripes right now.
Hmm.
And who else am I listening to? The Go-Betweens, Belle and Sebastian. These are all bands that come to New York, and I'll try and go see. The Velvet Revolvers or Velvet Revolver?
Revolver.
I am writing it down as we speak, and I will iTunes it up and have a good listen. Who else are you listening to?
Most of the time, whatever's on the oldies stations.
Right.
And
there's do you have a computer? You gotta have a computer, right?
It's crap.
It's a crappy computer. But I think you can get internet radio.
Yeah, that's what that's what this is, our show's on.
It's a podcast, right?
Uh-huh. On internet, what's great about it is it's nationwide, and so, you know, if the children are going to be on radio, they'll be able to tell their family and friends all over the, you know, nation to be able to listen to them.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. What's your next question, baby?
What was your favorite role to play in the Austin Powers movies?
I would have to say, I'd say Dr. Evil. Dr. Evil is just fun. I'll write the script, and we'll get a couple of takes as scripted, and then for the rest of the day, I just basically play. And basically, just whatever comes into my head. It's the most indulgent acting job in the history of show business, because I'm also the producer. They can't fire me. They really can't.
That's a plus.
Yes, I mean, they could fire me, and then I would rehire me.
And actually, since you're also the writer, you can just make things up as you go, right?
Yeah, and I'll go, that's part of the script. No, it isn't. It is now, kid. So it's a lot of fun. Those are my happiest times are when I'm making stuff and you know, on set, and, you know, we have a great crew of really lovely people who like to laugh, too. A lot of the times they have to sort of engineer the sound a little bit because somebody in the crew started laughing. So it's great because everyone, you know, is supportive and having a good time. And the director's awesome. He's like kind of like my brother and my co-collaborator. So I look forward to the having to do that. And the other thing, too, is, you know, it's what I wanted to do since I was a little kid, so I, you know, couldn't be happier.
All right, the next question is, how many movies have you been in?
You know what? I went to count the other day. It's not a lot. It's something like, I want to say 14, where I've been in them. Let me think. So there's two Wayne's Worlds, or Wayne's World. Wayne Worlds. two of those. Three Austin Powers, that's five. So I Married an Expert at 6, 54. I was in View from the Top. I was in it. It wasn't really my movie. You know what I mean. What was I going to say? Oh, what else? Oh, Cat in the Hat, Shrek 1 and 2, and I think that's it. Am I missing something?
Something about the Axe Murderer?
I mentioned the Austin Powers, right? It's, yeah. So it's
Austin.
What's that?
Yeah, you didn't miss Austin.
No. Oh, very good. Yeah, it's something like 9 or 10. I only want to do a movie if I feel like I'm really connected to it, and I tend to write my own stuff, so it just takes forever. I'm very envious of people who go, oh, that's a good script. We start in 2 weeks. I'm like, how do you do that? It takes me 2 years. It takes me like about a year to write it and a year to film it and edit it. And then it's out in the marketplace for, you know, it's out for people to see for like about a year. So, I'd say it's about 10.
Okay.
Well, short
thank you,
long.
Mike.
Any more questions?
I have no more questions.
Very
thank
good.
You.
He really enjoyed that. And our next co-host is Joel Sollander, and he's 11. And Joel loves video games, especially the sword games, and he loves comedy and dogs. And you might want to ask him about his running.
I run in circles for hours at a time.
He wants to be a cop when he grows up, too.
You want to be a cop?
Yeah.
Well,
shotgun in my car. Want to mess with me? Bring it on.
He's one of those shoot first, ask questions later kind of cops.
Exactly. I'll piss him.
So a little bit like the bang, freeze.
That's right. Oh. Yeah, ask him about his running.
All right, What about your running?
I like to run in circles for like hours at a time about thinking about absolutely nothing.
Right. I think you might want to talk to Karen. You two should really get together and hash these things out.
What's your first question, baby?
Okay. Is it weird to not look at a camera even though it's right in front of you?
Yes, it is. What a great question. Oh, my God, what a great question. That is one of the weirdest things ever. You know what I mean? It's really hard. And you'll often see takes in the movie that are ruined because I did what I call peeking. Where I peeked into the lens and I go, all right, sorry, I peeked. I couldn't help it. It's like this funnel that, like, kind of, it's like the intake of like, a big jet or something sometimes, and you're just so tempted to just look in the lens. So often what I do is if I make a mistake and I look into the lens, I play it right to the lens and just go, hello, people watching the dailies. How are you? Are you good?
Just so you can get watch, it out of the way.
Yeah, and then might as well just come clean with it. Because when you make a movie, you shoot all the film, and then at lunch, I don't go because I can't stand to look at myself, but when at lunch people go and watch the footage from the previous day, the highlights of it. So I'll often make a little show for the people at lunch because I don't go to it. Too much torture. But yeah, no, I'm constantly drawn to looking to the lens. It's a great question, and that's a very, very insightful question because it's such a temptation. You know, my best friend, I was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And my best friend from Toronto, 30 years, we were on the same hockey team and stuff. He came down to watch the show, and I was doing a Wayne's World on the show. And it was opening the show, and it's a live show. It's live to air. And so it's like 10 seconds, and it's like so scary because it's 10 seconds. It's live to millions of people.
Oh.
And it's like, no way. But you learn to sort of like relax into that. He didn't. He was freaked out. And he was right behind the camera, and he said it was all he could do not to run onto the set. He was like, yep, in that way of like it's all you can do not to look into the lens.
Yeah.
He was like, I got to tell you, Mikey, all I wanted to do was run in, just go, hey, I'm Dave. And he said, I'm never sitting up front again. I'm sitting in the back. So it's an interesting draw. What a great question. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, what is working with Adam Sandler like?
Adam Sandler is extremely nice. He's crazy in a fun way. He just had a baby. He's very, you know, he's a lovely guy. He's a sports fan. He's like me. He's had friends for years and years and years that he still keeps in touch with. And I don't get to see him nearly enough. I live in New York City. He lives in Los Angeles. And I don't get to see a lot of my friends as much as I would like. But when they come to town, I try and hook up with them and we'll hang out and stuff. But, you know, it's one of those things. I chose to live in New York City because I love it so much because of the buildings and my group of friends out here. But I don't get to see Adam that much. But he's a great guy, really funny.
Well, what was it like being the Cat in the Hat?
Well, I had to wear this horrendous snout. And so I never thought of it in terms of how many days. Like, so we were like, for me, the Cat in the Hat was 45 snouts. So if they'd say, oh, we're running late, I'd go, is that another snout? And the snout, no matter how much, the snout is made of this sulfur-based gelatin. And it was like having a dog's bottom on your face. And no matter how much they put mint in it, it just smelled like there was a mint in a dog's bottom on your face. It just was not comfortable. And I'm slightly, what do you call it, claustrophobic? Just ever so slightly, and that's just enough to make you really claustrophobic.
Yeah.
And, you know, the makeup took like 3 hours. the suit was like literally the hot, you know, it's fur.
Oh.
I had head to toe fur and like a 5-pound hat on my head and a snout that was like a dog's butt. Other than that, I had a great time.
Yeah, baby.
But it's you know astronauts, you know, they have those like spacesuits and stuff. The astronauts have this suit that they wear underneath their suit that circulates cold water to keep the temperature down. I had to wear one of those under the fur suit.
You really did wear one?
Yeah, in between takes, they plug me into this machine that would circulate ice-cold water through my body. But other than that, I had a great time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
I collected all the snouts, and I just moved recently, and I opened up, and the box had written on the outside of it, snouts, right?
Oh.
I said, what the heck? What? Somebody made a mistake, and I opened up, it was all my Cat in the Hat snouts. I collected them. They're all, like, jiggling, and it smelled horrible.
Oh, my gosh. And it's all about don't touch the hat, huh?
No.
Well, what was your favorite line in Shrek?
My favorite line in Shrek? My favorite line is Donkey's line. When he goes, we'll do this, that, and in the morning, waffles. it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I think that's my favorite line.
Can you really play the guitar?
I can, very badly.
You play the drums better.
I know 9 very good chords. And I shuffle them very well.
Do you play guitar, Daniel? I mean, Joel?
No. My brother does.
No.
What instrument would you want to play if you could play an instrument, or do you play an instrument?
I don't play an instrument. If I could play an instrument, it would be a bass.
A bass? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I play bass.
That's probably my second best instrument. I play drums, and then I play bass, my second best. And guitar, my third best.
Cool.
And hold on, cut to 2 hours later, and sousaphone is my 25th best.
Okay. Oh, what is your favorite movie? And it doesn't have to be yours, it's your favorite movie.
My favorite movie of all time is a movie called Being There, which is my hero. See, it's, you know, when I was growing up, you know, my parents were English. They're from Liverpool, England. They're, you know, they talk like this, like the Beatles, you know. Really, Grace, how are you? Love it. Like, you know, Grace. And Peter Sellers is from England. And my dad's hero was Peter Sellers and Sean Connery and the Beatles. Now, I got to meet Sean Connery just recently. Awesome. I did a tribute to him, and it was really exciting. He plays James Bond, which was really the whole reason I did Austin Powers. I got to meet Paul McCartney, which was great. I never got to meet Peter Sellers. And Peter Sellers is in this movie called Being There. My second favorite movie is another Peter Sellers movie called Dr. Strangelove. And these two movies if it's on TV and I see 10 minutes of it, I'm in for 2 hours. And I've been late for a really important thing because Being There and Dr. Strangelove were on. I highly recommend it. They're sort of unusual movies to be somebody's favorite movies, but from a comedy standpoint, the characters that Peter Sellers plays in Being There, and he plays like 5 characters in this movie called Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb is the long title of it. And it's really, really smart comedy, well written by a famous director named Stanley Kubrick, who is a genius, brilliant director. You must go out and see, if anything, a Kubrick film, but certainly see Dr. Strangelove.
Okay.
And what's your favorite movie of all time?
Goldmember.
Goldmember?
Yes.
Good choice, kid. Good choice.
Okay. If you could change Cat in the Hat in any way, how would you change it?
How would I change it? I think I would have had part of the movie look exactly like the book. I would have had it be that he presses his hat, and for a while there, the movie is kind of like Shrek. You know how like Shrek is 3D, but it's a cartoon?
Yeah.
I would have had the cartoons that are in the cat, the drawings that are in the Cat in the Hat book, done 3D like Shrek, but still be animation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know how like the river looks real and all that stuff? That's what I would have done for part of the movie, because I love the drawings. That's what made me want to do Cat in the Hat, was how much I loved the book as a kid. Like I said, my parents are from Liverpool, and so for me, the Cat in the Hat actually had a Liverpool accent when my mom would read it to me.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
So it's like, you know, I'm a Cat in the Hat, fancy that, you know. So I have like a real strong attachment. My mom was an actress. She had trained to be an actress and ended up having kids and moving to Canada instead of being an actress in England. And so she used to act out all the different parts in the book. And you know, I always loved the book, and I always loved the drawings. And so that's what I would have done. I would have had it be that there was like a Shrek-like sequence within the movie, a fantasy sequence, because this hat can take you anywhere, so that's what I thought. But that would have cost many millions of dollars.
Okay, next question.
What is your favorite candy?
My favorite candy is it's a chocolate bar. I love chocolate.
Me too.
I eat so much chocolate, especially when I'm doing Austin Powers. And I just get, I did a character called Philip. It's a little kid with a harness who is a hypoglycemic hyperactive kid, which is basically me when I was a kid. They put me on a harness because I would have chocolate. And I would just run. I would run my fastest, and my parents couldn't keep up with me. So that was me as a little kid. If I only could eat chocolate, but get all the nutrients that I need for my body, I would be the happiest person in the world. It's a chocolate bar. It's called a Bounty Bar,
And
it's coconut covered in milk chocolate. That's my favorite. Please say ooh. Yeah, say ooh. Come forward. Who said ooh? Not a coconut fan?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
But whatever floats your boat.
have a rethink on that.
Well,
what's your favorite candy?
Baby Ruth.
Baby Ruth?
They're all sitting there going, oh, who's the question to? We want to talk about our chocolate love.
Chocolate is like the best thing ever.
I love coconut.
Well, was that your last question, Joel?
Yes. It was nice to talk to you, Michael.
Nice to talk to you.
Okay, and our next co-host is Adam, and Adam is 18. And Adam actually wants to be a movie producer, Mike.
Right.
He really originally wanted to be an actor, but thought he fell short, so he decided either...
Yeah, I can't act. It's not there.
You know what? That's never stopped anybody before. If the ability to act kept me from doing what I did, I wouldn't have done it.
But all these guys, they all have such great personalities, and they're funny and just, you know, their little right brains going every minute.
Yeah.
And so that could be a reason to get into the movies anyway.
Yeah, well, it is fun. I mean, there's tons and tons of rejection, and there's tons and tons of frustrations. But when you finished it and you really, really like it, and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I saw your movie and I liked it, it's all entirely worth it. It's like anything, that it's always hard, and there's that period where you go, well, like someone like me, I always go, I have no talent, I have no right doing this, surely somebody's going to figure that out and I'm going to get fired. I thought I was going to get fired every week at Saturday Night Live.
How'd you get into that?
What's that?
How'd you first start into Saturday Night Live?
I did TV commercials when I was a kid, and I just always wanted to be an actor and wanted to be a comedic actor. And I had taken the workshops. They have these sort of like, they have lessons at this theater company called Second City, and this is where Farley went and Bill Murray.
Oh, Awesome.
And Dan Aykroyd, and you know that Eugene Levy and John Candy and all these guys all went there, and I thought, oh, you know, I'd love to do that. And so in my last year of high school, I took classes. On my last day of high school, I was just turned 19. You have to be 19 to join the company because they were playing bars, and in Canada you have to be 19 to go into a bar. And on my last day of high school, my last exam was at 9 o'clock, Concepts in Literature. I had an audition for Second City at 12 o'clock, and I was hired at 3 o'clock. So on my last day of high school, I was a professional comedian in a theater company. I did that for 2 years, moved to England for 2 years, got rehired back for Second City for a year, and then I got somebody recommended me to Lauren Michaels, who's the producer of Saturday Night Live. I just went and met him, and he had seen some stuff I'd done on Canadian TV, and he hired me. He hired me in February of 1989, and I was just all of a sudden on a TV show.
That's awesome.
And I was like 25.
Wow.
And it was a real journey. And then I started doing movies.
Just right from one little show to big time, you know, movie star of the planet.
I have no complaints. It's been kind of like Saturday Night Live was so exhausting, you would miss 2 nights sleep a week because you'd have to write the material on Tuesday night all night. And I'm still tired from it, and that was 10 years ago. I'm still like, wow, I really haven't recovered from 6 years of being on that show, but... So that's how it all kind of happened. I used to when I was a kid, I used to write my own shows and just do them in my backyard and just all that stuff. Just really wanted to do it, but I never let talent and lack of talent stop me.
Well, that's good. I'll keep that in mind.
No, it's truthfully though, I always was painfully like sensitive, you know, and it's just been about kind of like, you know, overcoming my sensitivity to do it, you know. But it's, you know, just don't listen to people when they tell you you can't do it. That's my number one piece of advice.
Well, thank you for that.
Not at all.
I had a question about Dana Carvey.
Yes.
Whatever happened to him? Because, I mean, your movie career exploded, and he came out with, I think, Master of Disguise, and...
Well, Dana's my hero. I mean, when I was on the show, he sort of took me under his wing. We did Wayne's World together. Then Dana got heart problems.
Oh.
This is a interesting story. He's predisposed for heart attacks. Like his mom and his dad both had heart stuff, and he had this thing called an angioplasty, where they put like a balloon in your heart and opens the valve and all this stuff. And none of the stuff was working, so they said, well, we have to operate on the valve. And he went, okay, that's great. And then once they do that, it's fine. He had the operation and felt worse. And then they went in and realized they'd operated on the wrong valve.
Oh.
And so he basically has spent the last 6 years kind of recovering from that. He doesn't write so much, or he doesn't write at all. And he makes so much money as a stand-up that he goes on the road, and he's people just love him so much from his stand-up. I don't think he really enjoys making movies either. He loves stand-up. He loves going out there. And when you see him out there, you go, this is like duck to water. This is like a moose in the forest. He's home. And I don't think he really enjoys making movies so much. As he always said the whole time we were working together, he goes, you don't get a laugh. Like, I get a little bit of a laugh from the crew, but it is very weird to perform and not really hear a solid audience laugh for a year. Yeah. So it's crazy. It's maybe 8 months before people are laughing. So yeah. That's when he got sick, and then he just really doesn't love movies.
Okay, got it. another question. I've noticed that Shrek and Fat Bastard sound a lot alike. Is there any inspiration there? Or?
Well, I'm, you know, in Canada, there's tons and tons of Scottish people. And if you're a Canadian comedian, you're almost issued a Scottish accent. Like the government gives you one. And so I did Shrek at the same time that I was doing Austin Powers 2.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know whether either of them were going to actually work. So I always thought, like, the big ogre was Scottish. I don't know why. Originally, I did it with a Canadian accent, similar to how I'm talking right now. And then switched over to a Scottish accent, and then I did Austin Powers 2, and they both came out at the same time. So they are, in fact, extremely similar. Only one is just a little more foul-mouthed than the other.
Yeah, just a tad.
Just a bit, yeah.
Just a bit. Do you have any movie regrets?
Movie regrets? No, I don't. It's a nice feeling, actually.
That's good.
You know, you do everything, and you, everybody does have them, by the way. It's very, very, it's like, I remember when I was in Toronto, I'd see people do movies, and I go, why did they do that movie for? Well, nobody thinks that a movie's not going to be good when you enter into it. And it's just as much hard work for a movie that doesn't work than it is for a movie that's like a big, huge success. And it's really hard to know what's going to play and what's not going to play. Having said that, you know, some movies have broken records. Some movies have made a nickel. And, you know, it's a long career, and you kind of go, I'm just really grateful to be doing what I've wanted to do since I was a little kid and still enjoy it. And there's a lot of reasons. Like, I remember Chris Rock had a movie called CB4, yeah. Really funny. I'm a huge Chris Rock fan. And it opened during the worst snowstorm in the history of the Eastern Seaboard.
Oh.
And then it didn't do well. Seinfeld, the show Seinfeld, which we now go as a classic and everybody loves, it had millions of dollars spent on its first show, and it premiered and was preempted on the night of the Gulf War in 1991.
Oh.
There's, like, bigger things than yourself, you know, that make something big or not big.
Yeah, timing is everything.
Yeah, it's timing and luck, but you have to meet. No one's going to give you luck if you don't work hard. So you work hard and then get lucky, but if you don't work hard, you never get lucky. So that's kind of what it is. But everyone always thinks that the movie's going to do great. And you don't know until you know. It's like starting a sculpture. You don't know until it's the last piece of stone is taken off the hunk of rock.
Yeah.
Then you look back and you go, that was good or that was crappy. You don't know. It takes so long. That's the other thing that makes it hard to know. They take a year.
Yeah.
So.
What other questions
do you have, sir?
I got one about Austin Powers, too.
Sure.
My dad is taking...
Is that Austin Powers 2 or Austin Powers as well?
The spy that shagged me.
Yes, indeed.
My dad's taken me to every single movie, pretty much opening night of Austin Powers. And when going to number 2, we were watching through it. And when you drank your own mojo, everyone in the entire theater was disgusted.
Yes.
I've just been wanting to know.
My job is done.
What did that taste like?
What did it...
What does mojo taste like?
What does mojo taste like?
It tastes like a bounty bar. Chocolate-covered. Some of you, that's a problem. Well, too bad, says I.
Yeah, that was me.
No, I know.
I think it was
like Jell-O with like mint or something. I have to remember. It wasn't good.
Okay.
There's a lot of, like, weird things you have to do in movies. Like, the Fat Bastard suit, they didn't design it so that you could easily take a pee. They had to take the door off the bathroom. And there was some elaborate engineering that happened. Because no one thought it through. It's like, all right, he's going to have to pee in that thing. And so...
Did they make a harness for you so they could swing you up in the toilet?
It was sadly way more elaborate and humiliating than that. I will not get into it, but I will let your depraved imaginations go where you need to go with that and tell you that you are probably right.
All right. Well, I just want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me and all of us today.
Not at all. My pleasure.
You most definitely have awesome, and I want to have your babies.
Well, I'm gonna hold you to that.
It's a date.
Very good.
So we all got to say goodbye, and Mike Myers was our guest today, and he was absolutely wonderful, and he helped make these kids' dreams come true. And we all want to say,
we love you, Mike. Peace, baby.
Peace, and out to you all.
God bless, and take care.